Leviticus 23, if you look at verse number 33, you'll see that this portion of Scripture is in the midst of the Old Testament law that explains the different feasts that Israel was commanded to have. The one that I want to draw your attention to is the feast, what they call the Feast of Jehovah, or the Feast of the Tabernacles. Let me read about this. I think this is just fascinating. I love this portion of Scripture, and I love this idea. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. Leviticus 23, verse 33. Can you hear me all right back there? Is it loud enough? Are you all right? Everybody's good? All right, good. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you, notice verse 7, ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in a year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell, notice this interesting, this is unique to the Feast of Jehovah, the Feast of the Tabernacles. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. And these were basically homemade little brush arbors or homemade little tents. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless this time in your word. And Lord, prepare our hearts tonight through this service. Prepare us, Lord. Get us ready for the blessings you have in store for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Feast of the Tabernacles is very interesting. God declared in his word as part of the Old Testament law that several times during the year at set times, on set dates, the children of Israel were to come together for a time of unity, a time for fellowship, some holy convocations or a time of assembly, and they were to lay everything else aside, stop what they're doing, check out of their busy lives, come together. Some of them were for 5 days, some of them were for 7 days, some of them were longer. But every once in a while, throughout the year, these planned times, set times, to come together. One of the most interesting is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And interesting because of several reasons. Some of the feasts, most of the feasts, did not require them to leave the city or to leave their homes. They would celebrate them in their homes. They would celebrate at the temple. They would go to the normal places of worship. But the Feast of the Tabernacles, I think, is unique, and I think kind of is the basis of the idea of going to camp. I've been going to camp, man, a lot. I don't remember when it was. Brother Charles, maybe you can help me on this and refresh my memory later, but I remember as a young boy, I don't know if when we were still going to Providence or shortly after we began Blessed Hope, but I remember that they brought us to this camp with other churches, and we used to have church camp here with other churches. And the member, I remember that very amphitheater. Yes, it was alive then. It was there then. It's not that, it is kind of old, but it was there. And sitting there and listening to preaching and having God stir my heart. I grew up in junior camp. I grew up in teen camp. I can't get away from camp. It's like ever since I've been in the ministry, somewhere along the line, every summer, sometimes for several weeks, I'm involved in a camp somewhere. I like the camp ministries. I think they're a blessing. I think they're worthy of support. I think it's a good thing. We decided this year, instead of sending our teens a direction and our juniors a direction, just to take 1 week or part of a week and just have a family camp, and we'll see how it goes. We may be something we do again, maybe something we don't. I don't know. I just felt like the Lord wanted us to do it this year. But I think it's a wonderful thing. There's several things that are unique about camp. I used to tell our teenagers this. I said, if the perfect storm happened, when I was youth pastor, I said, if the perfect storm happened, we planned a week of camp, and for whatever crazy reason, something happened in every family in our church, and when it came time to get on the bus, no teenagers went to camp at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I said this, I think I would still get in my car and go to camp. I used to go taking the teenagers thinking, boy, you know what? I want God to do something in their hearts. And you know what would always happen, inevitably happen, is I felt left there feeling like the person that God done the most to was me. I remember one time I was dealing with what God had dealt with my heart at an altar, and I had one of the guys that were running the camp slap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you've got teenagers that need to be dealt with over here. And I looked up at him like, wait a minute, I need to be dealt with here. and you know what? Camp is a wonderful thing, a great experience, and a chance to just hear the Lord in a unique way. There's several things about the Feast of the Tabernacles that's similar to family camps or teen camps or junior camps. The idea of going away for a while. Number one, it was a time of coming apart. Now, this is interesting. They were required, if they were Israelites, they were required to leave their homes. They could not spend time. Now, see how nice I'm being to some of you? God made them leave their houses. And they were made for 7 days to go out into the wilderness and build booths and dwell in those booths. And can I say this, folks? If you do a little bit of study of the history of revival in this country, it revolved many times around open-air camp meetings. You know, we hear stories of the older evangelists say, boy, you know, we used to have protracted meetings that went on for 2, 3, 4 weeks. Well, folks at that time didn't have the transportation and a lot of things they had today. And when they went somewhere to stay. There wasn't any going somewhere, traveling, going back at night to their house, coming back. When they came, they brought all their stuff. They camped out. Camp meeting was camp meeting. People came and stayed on the property, and they fellowshipped and prayed together and heard preaching and got right together and did everything together. And out of those meetings, revivals started. Things broke out in communities. And so it was a time of coming apart. The history of church camp and my connection with it, I've seen God move in these types of environments in ways that I've not seen Him do in any other format. And I think there's all kinds of reasons for that. I think one of the reasons is, and this is why I like taking the teens and your juniors and parents, and you know, some of you that's never gone, I would really like you to do it. I mean, when I saw those hands, I thought, I don't know if some of them's ever been. If you've never been a week to either teen camp or junior camp as an adult, you ought to go as a counselor. Come talk to me, and we'll send you. I'm going to tell you, you go one time, and I won't have to twist your arm ever again or try to convince you of how important it is for your young people to be there. There's something about folks, us getting out of our comfort zones. You know, we like to just be in control. We've set up our little house. We've set up our little life. We've set up our little schedule. But the problem is our home, our life, and our schedule a lot of times is not conducive to God really speaking with us and meeting with us. And we're just too busy. We're just too busy. So it takes us out of our comfort zone. It takes us away from life's distractions. And I'm going to tell you, one of the blessed things about a lot of the camps I preach at is they're so far out in the boondocks that you don't have cell phone reception. Imagine that. I say, preacher, what do you do? Once a day, I drive up somewhere at the top of some hill, check everything, answer the calls I need to, and go back and spend the next 23 hours and 45 minutes in bliss and happiness. Amen. and just to get away from the distractions, the phone ringing, the noise of a television set, electronics, one of the great distractors is technology, and just the busyness of life, away from life's distraction. It's special because God's people gather in a specific location. It's a gathering of God's people. This is what they did in the Feast of the Tabernacles. And one of the great things about this type of environment is it also brings you to a place where you're surrounded by God's creation. You know, out in the world, it just seems like everywhere we look, we see what man built. But you get out far enough, you get out to a camp situation, you get out in the woods somewhere, you get out where you can, most of what you see is what God made. And it's something about that just brings your heart to the Savior. I think sometimes the reason that great things happen at camp situations is because it's finally quiet enough for us to hear the voice of God. It's finally, you know what, one of the most wonderful things you could do here at camp this week is just get up a little early or take part of the activity time and literally go somewhere and just sit somewhere on a stump and talk to God and open your Bible and read a little and pray a little and read a little and pray a little and just listen to what God has to say to you. And so I think that all of those things play into what God has done in camp. Number one, it was a time of coming apart, the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was a time of holy convocations. Now, what does that mean? The word convocations means assemblies. They didn't just come out in the woods and spread out. They came together to hear the Word of God preached and to worship and to praise the Lord together. And so these three meetings that we have, there's a reason we're doing that. They ought to be holy convocation, a time for us to come and hear what God has to say to us through the preaching of the Word. I hate to break this news because I told you he was going to be able to come, but Brother Bobby Roberts ended up canceling on Brother Castle's meeting. Therefore, we were just going to use him that one Tuesday morning. I was making fun of Brother Reiser and Brother Gordon saying, you guys got to preach before and after Brother Robertson. Guess who has to preach in place of Brother Robertson now? See, that's what I get. That's exactly what I get. So Tuesday morning, if you don't want to come, I'll totally understand. I don't know if you can deal with the disappointment of it. But the holy convocations, I'm going to have men of God stand up with the Word of God. And I want to hear what God has to say to me through the preaching of the Bible. Number three, it was a time of bringing sacrifices and offerings and gifts and vows unto the Lord. You know, folks, listen to me. I've watched in camp situations young people and adults walk forward and lay things on an altar that they have held on to for a lifetime. They've held on to a life for a lifetime. You know, there's just something about what God does in your heart in these type of situations. And God, you never know what God's going to ask for. In the quietness of this place, in this time set aside for God to bring revival to our heart and stir us, you just never know what God's going to ask. He may say to a young man, I want you to lay your life on the altar. A young lady, I want you to lay your life on the altar. I want you to lay your future. I want you to surrender to this or surrender to that. Sometimes God speaks very specifically about an area of our life that we're not pleasing the Lord in. Some little secret sin or something that we are stubbornly clinging to that God wants. He wants it. And how many times have I watched in camp situations God get a person to that breaking point where they just come forward and say, you know what, I've fought God long enough on this. It's time to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. They said something about vows in here. And you know what? Some of the vows that I've made in my life, most of the vows that I've made in my life, I've made in a camp situation where in this environment, God comes and says, I want you not to just make a decision about this. I want you to vow to me that from this day forward, this will be the way it is in your life. Those are sacred times in my life. Those are serious times as I look back on them. And you know what? Those things altered the course of my life. I don't believe I would be where I am today if it hadn't been for these times growing up where I got to these quiet places and I got away from all the junk and all the distraction. I was raised in a good home. And I was in a good environment. But there's just something about getting away and listening to what God is going to do for you and in your heart. And so these were times of gifts and vows and sacrifices. Number four, this would be a blessing to you. Verse 39, it was a time of feasting. Come on now. Amen. I like this. You know what? I think the Lord loves to see His people breaking bread together. One of the things that you see come out of the great revival, the great evangelistic happening that we read about in Acts chapter 2 this morning, is that once those 3,000 people were saved, you know what? They had a heart's desire to spend time with each other and to eat together and to enjoy. And I mean this, there's something wonderful about sitting at a table with some other Christians and breaking bread with them and talking over a meal that is God-blessed. And I'm going to encourage our folks to do this. Listen, I know, I get it. We all are kind of stuck in a rut. If I have a fellowship, I can almost predict if I have a fellowship or a banquet what groups of people are going to be sitting with each other at what tables, okay? And I'm not mad at you. It's a normal thing. It's a good thing. It's fine. I really am not. But can I say this? Let's this week decide that we're going to break bread with somebody that maybe we've never really gotten to know that much. Would that be a good thing to do? I mean, instead of grabbing your plate, say, teenage girls, you know, I'm going to go in my little teenage girl group and then my little, you know, wacko teenage guy group over here. And these three families like, hey, I got an idea. There's somebody in this church that, you know what, if you'd spend a little time and get to know, you would be a blessing to them and they'd be a blessing to you. So grab your plate, look around and say, I'm going to try over there today. And just, wouldn't that be a blessing? It's a time of feasting. Food. Food's important. You know what? The Bible, Jesus, or God didn't give to Moses 2 or 3 pages of the fastings of Israel. He gave them the feasts. Come on now, this is spiritual stuff. We get to eat. It's a blessing. Oh man, I'm in trouble too. I got away from my scales. Not them scales. I got away from my bathroom scales for about a month. I mean, I'm not there yet. I'm walking the edge. You never know, this might turn into a praise, okay? As a matter of fact, it really needs to now, doesn't it? I'm in trouble. I mean, I went like 4 or 5 weeks. And I know. And I mean, 2-3 times a week, I get on the scale, 190 to 200. You've heard me say this 100 times. If I'm on the low side, party time, man, I just eat whatever I want. If I'm on the high side, I got to eat soup and crackers and you know, salad and all that nonsense, you know. And so I'll get back down, and then I'll go again, man, here we go. And I just kind of live bouncing in that little tent. I got on the scales here the other day, and I am 15 pounds out of my window. And you know what? I'm going to do something about that. Friday. Friday. Forget it. I'm going for 20. I'm not going to sit around here and watch y'all have fun eating. This is the feast of the tabernacle. It's in the Bible. Who cares anyway? Praise the Lord. Time of feasting. It was a time of rejoicing. Look at verse number 40. Did you see that? Verse number 40. Oh, did I lose my place? There it is. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of the goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you know, folks, I don't know. You know, I know that they did things that we don't do, and I'm not saying we're wrong for not doing it, but I'm going to tell you something. This must have been something to see. It was hard on the trees in the area. You know, you get, yeah, exactly. You get 50,000 Jews together, 100,000 Jews together for a feast of the tabernacles, and they're out in the wilderness now. So now everybody go get a limb, you know, and they're breaking stuff off. I mean, it was rough on the foliage, but can you imagine this? A great gathering, and I don't know why God did this. I don't know. But they would break off the branches and they would wave them up like. Can you imagine looking over, you know, being one of the high priests on the platform they would build up on the wooden pulpit, which was actually a platform, and just watching this and listening to them sing praises to God and wave these branches. This is good for Baptist people. Amen. Right. Amen. Some of you are just too stuffed shirt. I'm sorry. It'd be all right to feel something. I mean, if you're singing one of these courses and you start tingling, you know, don't run out the door. Don't go jump in a cold lake. I've got to get away from that. I almost felt something, you know. I mean, part of the Christian life and part of worshiping the Lord is being touched. Some of you singers, and bless your hearts, and you know what, I don't think bad or good either way, but it doesn't bother me a bit when I see God get in on a song a little bit every once in a while. It doesn't bother me a bit when I see somebody get a little choked up while they're singing and a tear trickle down. Praise God. Right. You know, we got taught in a segment of our Christianity, we got taught that if you feel something, it's wrong. You know, we're supposed to practice this thing like a professional opera singer and sit up there with no emotion and just perform the... And you know what? We lost God. Come on. We lost the Lord in it. I'm all for practicing, but watch this. I'm not for practicing so much you practice God out of something. I had an old preacher tell me this once. He said, don't walk to the pulpit unprepared. Watch this. But he said, don't walk to the pulpit overprepared. That is good. There's a certain amount of study you ought to do. And if you don't do it, shame on you. You're lazy. But I think there's also a certain amount of things that you just need to let God do. And I think that that's true. I'm glad that our people meet. They ought to meet. They ought to practice. And I don't want you to get up there and mess up because you haven't practiced. But you know what? I'm not worried about... Listen, I'm 1,000 times more blessed by the spirit of the song than the precision of a song. And so, amen, that is good. That's good stuff. And so, it was time of rejoicing. It was a time where they literally had times of praising the Lord. And I'm thinking about those branches being waved. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And so, never is heard a discouraging word. How about this? Let's rejoice this week. Say, preacher, what is this crazy thing about turtle? I don't know. I was just typing out the rules, and I thought, boy, I wish I could just shut down that complaining, whining that seems like there's always an undercurrent sometimes. And how do I do that? And I don't know. It's like God spoke to me and said, turtle. It was just like, what, Lord? Turtle. I'm like, turtle? Yes, trust me, son, turtle. Okay, I'm going to write it in there. You say, did you steal that from some camp? No, really, this was direct revelation. Turtle. Nobody else would take my credit for it. And I thought, boy, maybe that'd be good. Maybe that'd be good. Listen, you know what? Just be happy. Hey, let me promise you something about camp. Let me promise you something about it. It's not all going to be good. Let me promise you something else. Something's going to go wrong. Let me promise you something else. Somebody's going to get hurt. There's no way to have fun if there's not the risk of injury. If there is not the chance of being maimed or killed, it is not fun. You safe people. Well, I think we should play checkers. That would be good activities. I want my children in here sitting down playing checkers. I'll throw one, hit them in the eye. They're going to get injured. I'm going to make sure of it. In fact, every camp I go to, about every meal, I look at the camp director and I'm like, anybody got hurt yet? And he's like, you're excited. I'm like, no, I just know what's going to happen. I'll be able to relax once it happens. And so into it about a day or two, he'll come in. Yeah, we made a run to the emergency room. I thought, thank God. I can relax now, you know. Somebody, praise God, it's camp. Somebody got hurt. Yes. Somebody broke something. It's really camp. So I want you to be safe, but not too safe. Just have a good time. Just have a good time, all right? Enjoy yourselves. Listen. But let's rejoice. Let's have a good time. Let's be a blessing to each other. And then verse number 43, and I'm done. It was created to be a time of remembrance. Now think about this. He said, preacher, what was the significance? Why did God say, now you tell Moses that in this seventh month, on the 15th day, for 7 days, I want them out of their houses, I want them in the wilderness, and I want them living in these little homemade little brush arbor. What was the purpose? It was a history lesson. He said, I want you to sit out there and remember that your forefathers, they traveled. Listen, number one, they were delivered out of Egypt by God's mighty hand. They came through the Red Sea by God's mighty hand. And you know what? Your forefathers was required to walk through the wilderness and live this way. And you shouldn't forget. You know why I want to have a camp meeting? You know why I like camp meetings? You know why from time to time, we haven't done it in a while, blessed hope, we ought to just throw a tent up. You know why we ought to just get outside? Let me tell you why. It's our heritage. The Great Awakening didn't start in air-conditioned cathedrals. It started out in cow pastures. With leather lung preachers and folks coming from miles around and towns everywhere and saying, we're just going to stay here till God shows up. We're just going to stay here till God does something. Pass me not. Here it is. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. I never come. Maybe I did when I was young. Maybe when I was away from the Lord. I never come to these type of meetings saying, I'll tell you one thing, they're not going to get to me. I'm not making any decision. I always come scared to death that God might move in other people's heart and nothing happen in my life. I want God to do something. I want God to speak to me this week. And here's a great thing. You know what? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You know what? You're going to get in the next few days what you come looking for. What you really ask for, what you really seek for, what you'll knock and knock and knock and ask God to do until something divine happens. Let's have a good several days here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for this opening service. Thank you for God's people gathering in this place. Thank you for allowing us to have the resources to do something like this. Lord, I do pray that you would watch over our young people, especially the youngest of the young. Take good care of everybody and all the activities. Help us to have a good time, a good safe time. Bless, Lord, the holy convocations, these times of assembly. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us and do some things in our lives. And dear God, the exciting part of this type of a week is you never know when God's going to show up. And so I would pray, Lord, that we would be in attendance as much as we can. And Lord, not just to the services, but we would be listening for your sweet Holy Spirit in the wee hours of the morning or the late hours of the night or in the middle of the day as we maybe take just a few minutes to walk down a hiking trail and say, God, it's been a while since it's just been me and you for a while. Let's talk. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do in each of our lives, but I'm hungry for it. God, I want you to do something. Lord, I pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Look right up here. I'm not going to have an invitation tonight, but we'll take off on things tomorrow. I'm going to ask something, and the one thing that is different about this camp, and I talked to Brother Chad about it, that there's one thing that will steal what we're trying to happen is this. I'm not fussing anybody. Those of you, many of you have to work or whatever. But could I ask you to do something? Between now and Thursday morning, as much as possible, isolate yourself from worldly influence like you were at camp. Here's a thought. Why don't we just not turn the TV on between now and Thursday? Well, preacher, I want to watch something. If you've got time to watch TV, you could be here. But honestly, not just for that reason. If you've never done this, I mean, just do the bare minimum of what you have to do to keep life going. And treat even your comings and goings sacredly. And say, you know, when we get home, we're just not going to turn everything on and have everything going. We're going to do what we have to do. And then we're going to get back there and we're going to see what God's going to do in our life. Let's have a great week, okay? All righty. What needs to happen for food? You need a little time? All right, no problem. We're going to go ahead and pray now so that later on we won't have to stop everybody and we'll pray and dismiss. And then we've got some light out there. Somewhere there's a light switch that'll turn the lights on out in the field out there. We'll try to find that. I think it's on a pole somewhere. I'll bet you one of these boys will find it in about 30 seconds when I dismiss here. And we've got some of our sports equipment here and some different things that we can lay out. And we're going to just have some fun, get used to the cabin. Please do this. If your family's in a cabin, look right up here and let me have you help me with this. If your family's in a cabin, then you be in that cabin. If that's not your cabin, don't be in that cabin. Okay, let's not create anything that would be, even have the appearance of evil, okay? And so all of the lit areas after dark, you're welcome to. Don't just hang out somewhere on the fringes. Young people, be very careful and be very sensible, because if I got young people just off hanging off somewhere on the edges, I'm going to bark at you. All right? And I'm good at that. I have no problem doing that. All right. Very good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for providing us this time of refreshment and the food. And I do thank you for Brother and Mrs. Diver. They've already put in a lot of time and effort with the shopping and hauling everything. And dear God, thank you for so many helping hands this afternoon that helped us get things set up and ready to go. And Lord, just give us a great time of fellowship. Bless us and watch over us, we pray. Bless the food to our bodies, Lord, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.